Maybe you should go and do some contemplating. Right reason.
I'm the Bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Sorry, I slammed down the cap of this Super Water Zero right as you introduced yourself. Authoritatively, go ahead and give it a second shot.
Hi, this is Rachel.
Hi, this is Griffin. I got so excited for a refreshment from Super Water Zero, our sponsor this week on Rose Buddies.
Welcome to Rose Buddies. This is going to
be... Oh my God, so many vitamins.
This is going to be one hell of a week.
Holy shit. What an important episode. Not just for the Bachelor, Bachelorette franchise, but also for, I would go ahead and say, just television. And like how we even view race as a construct.
There are certain things that happen every year on The Bachelor. There are things like backbiting, tears, some drama. But this episode, it was extreme.
The racial, and let's call them what they were, which is overtones, were so, they hung in the air like, you know, in the Harry Potter movies, whenever they would have dinner in that dope-ass dining hall and there were those magic candles floating in the air, that was like what racism was in this episode of The Bachelor that we just watched.
That Super Water Zero really gives you a new
point. It gives me thinking power. That's mm-hmm. right. Let's just put the fucking tiger on the table and yell at it.
Well,
there was a part in this episode, and
do you want to get there naturally, or do you want to just break it?
You know how on The Bachelor they show, like, this time on The Bachelor, and then they show what's up? We should do that on Rose Buddies.
Yeah, okay.
Our Bachelor, the protagonist, the male protagonist of the series, Ben Higgins, says the words in this sentence, and again, we'll work our way back to how he said it. I ain't that white.
Yes.
If you haven't watched the show, I guess it's important information you know. He's extraordinarily, completely, and absolutely astonishingly? Mm-hmm. He's a white man.
Another spoiler, Lace reveals a tattoo, and right after revealing the words on that tattoo, she makes an exit.
Yeah, she dips.
The tattoo itself
it's pretty incredible.
It makes her whole arc.
Final spoiler, Rachel and I got 3 points at our fantasy team this week.
Yeah.
3 points, which is probably like a new low.
Yeah.
For the whole like series of fantasy. Let's get into it.
Let's go chronological and let's just go really, really quick. Lauren B gets the first solo date. Lauren B is the flight attendant. We had strong feelings about her, and she has a really great date with him. There is a biplane. There's a hot tub.
There's a hot tub. Let's talk about this hot tub, because this hot tub was it represented a sort of magical realism, which I really appreciated existing in The Bachelor, because they were in the middle of a fucking valley that they just flew a biplane into. And then in the middle of the valley, in the middle of nowhere, there was a hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
How did it get there? Who would put it there? Where did the water come from? How did it get hot? What's it plugged into? They're in the middle of a fucking valley.
Yeah.
Was there another bigger biplane carrying the hot tub right behind them? I'm going to say this straight up. Their shit was cute.
Yeah. They seem to be really, really into each other.
You remember last Bachelor with Chris Soules when he had Whitney? And they went on their first date and they crashed at a wedding. And I was like, hey, guys, I turned to the room. Hey, guys, I said, their shit's cute. And what happened? She won, but it didn't work.
It didn't work out.
But still, I got the eye for it.
Here's the cute moment. And we won't spend too much time on this date because there were a lot more things happening. But Lauren B and Ben are having the non-meal where they sit in front of a plate of food and don't eat it. And
he's talking about his family.
He starts talking about his dad and like a heart condition that his dad had. And Lauren B, who'd seemed kind of nervous most of the date, says, I really want to meet your parents. Like in a real sincere way.
A really sweet, genuine way.
And then she got nervous about it. Like, oh, I know what that means. That means I'm here to the final three and I'm making a big play. And she's like, oh, I didn't mean to be weird. And he was like, no. And they like both seemed real happy.
She's going to win this season of The Bachelor. That's straight up. And if we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have drafted her in our fantasy league redraft. I think that might be an ongoing Rose Buddies thing, is that we talk about our favorite.
Don't ever
explain it.
Don't ever reveal how it
but
works.
Yeah, this shit's cute, which is nice. We needed a bright point in this episode of just like fucking putting adversity up on the shelf and taking a good long look at the adversity.
let's go quick. Let's go to the group date.
The group date, the only thing that stood out to me at the group date was, first of all, Emily is the greatest soccer player possibly of our generation.
Yeah, so it's a soccer date. There's two women from the U.S. national team. They all play, they break.
Mia Hamm and.
That's not true.
Mia Beef.
Yes. Beautiful. So there's a lot
that's
of
a real,
them.
You didn't know that? They were on the World Cup team together. U.S. All Pro World Cup team. 1999, Mia Hamm and Mia Beef. And Mia Beef was the goalie. And get this. She was enormous, but she was very lithe, and she hated soccer balls, and so she would attack them.
So I like it better if they were on opposing teams, because then Ham could yell at Beef, "Pork, it's what's for dinner."
No, they were they sort of had a whole meat team, because then there was Mia, Sam. This is stupid. This is dumb. They played soccer against each other, and nobody had ever, like, seen a soccer ball.
We're talking about the date now.
Yes.
They broke the women on the date into two teams, made them play each other, said the winning team got time with Ben, the losing team had to go home immediately. So the stakes were high.
Emily did a great job as the goalie of the Stars team. I do want to say, if there was one woman that won the soccer date in Ben's eyes, it was sports.
Yeah. He loves sports.
Sports is Ben's favorite, and it's almost wonderful. Watching this episode and that particular part of it kind of, like, nailed it down for me, like, what Ben is and what Ben represents. And it actually made him a little bit more enjoyable in my eyes, until, of course, he did say, "I ain't that white," later on. More on that later. He's like that, you know, in high school, and there were the jocks. You weren't a jock.
No.
I was taking a shot in the dark there. But I was pretty sure.
I was on track 1 year of high school.
You're fucking kidding me.
My
what did you do?
I ran. I was on track.
But there's like hurdles.
I did some low hurdles.
Yeah, see?
For a brief period of time.
But you were mostly like distance or sprint, or what was it?
I wanted to be a sprinter, but I was more distance.
I've said that about you.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, "That Rachel." I'm like, "Yeah, she puts in the work." Mm-hmm. She's in it for the long haul. They're like, "You should marry her." It's like, I already did.
Next week on Track Buddies.
Anyway, Ben reminds me of like, because I knew some of the jocks. I went to, like, church with some of the jock guys.
That was your in?
That was my in. And I feel like everybody at high school always has that one, like, super popular jock person that's also, like, really nice to you.
Yeah.
That's, like, makes his way to, like, say hey.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that's Ben. Because he's, like, he's obviously not the most charismatic person. But he puts in
his
a lot
enthusiasm.
Of effort.
At one point, the game was tied. Both women had the same amount of points, and he was so sincerely excited.
Well, that's different. That's not him being a nice guy. This motherfucker loves sports so much. These women who have meant nothing to him at this point having a conversation with his favorite woman of all time, sports.
Emily, who is one of the twins, not the twin that we had drafted, the one that I liked, she made a couple great saves in goal, and Ben ran over and hugged her, not as like a flirtatious play, but like a real sincere, like, incredible, my dude.
She had some sports on her, and he wanted to like touch it.
He wanted to touch the sports.
He wanted to touch the sports, to have and hold the sports.
Rachel also gets hurt.
Rachel got hurt.
She like sprains her ankle or something.
Yeah, sports was not kind to her.
No.
So that sports, she can be fickle. You never know when she's going to favor you or not. That's why Ben can't hold her and love her. It's fucking tragic is what it is. Because they are perfect for each other, except that one is more of like an abstract concept.
Yeah.
So, he loves sports so much.
So there was Stars versus Stripes. Stripes win. Olivia is on the winning team. She gets to spend a little more time with Ben.
She does some pretty great shit in the post sesh. The post-hang sesh. The Stars have to go home. This is the bitter taste of defeat. Stripes win, and Olivia immediately grabs him and takes her up to her room and, like, waves at all the women from the balcony, like, "Hey, what's up? We're higher up than you are."
Mm-hmm.
Later on, she doesn't get the roast, but she's consoled by the fact that as he stands up, Ben uses her leg to lift himself out of his chair. And she's like, and that's how I know. We have like our own little secret language, ignoring the fact that he did definitely also use another woman's leg. He used a two prop system, 2 points of leverage.
Amber gets the rose that night because she goes in for some smooches and she's victorious. The other thing that happens is that some of the girls trash talking about Olivia gets back to Olivia.
Oh my God. The trash talk is fire.
They're talking about specifically the toes on her feet and the breasts on her chest and
her ankles apparently at some point.
Yeah. And then I can't remember which woman goes back to her and like,
Jami, I believe it is.
Oh, it was Jami. And Olivia is just like, well, I know my toes are terrible, but you can't worry about that. You know, perfection is not interesting.
No, she said perfection is lame. I love my weird toesies. What are you fucking talking about? Also, how did none of the women talk about the fact that she can fit like 5 whole adult hands in her mouth?
Her mouth has not come up.
Talking about her breasts, that's fucked up. Yeah. She fucking cooled that shit down. Talking about her toes is hilarious and amazing, and keep doing that every time. Like, this episode got fucking surreal.
Yeah.
It got weird. I thought I was way drunker than I actually was while watching this episode. But yeah, somebody tattles on the other women because, and Olivia in is the only good Olivia moment for this episode. Is like, they were talking about my toes?
2 more things that happen on that date.
Oh, my God.
Ben stands up, and when he stands up, he's like, all right, good day, everybody. Sleep tight. Which was just the coachiest coach thing to ever say. And then Jami says, Ako Taco.
Oh, that was in reference to Jubilee, the solo date, because she was being Ako Taco.
Okay. All right.
Your notes are just arranged like a lunatic. I'm looking at them. They're arranged on like 23 different lines and like 4 columns.
It's completely inscrutable. So it goes down here and then goes up this way. So, yeah. So
I wanted to touch back, though, on Olivia's secret language of touch, because it also happens at the end. Olivia gets the final rose of the rose ceremony. And he like comes in on the group hug on everybody. He's like, hey, we're going to Las Vegas. And she's like, he left his hand on my hip just a second too long. And that's how I know that he's going to have 3 kids with me and 2 boys and 1 girl.
That's some high school stuff, though, to be honest. Like that.
She's 20. Is she 23? There's a 23-year-old in the mix.
I don't know. But my friends in high school would do that. We would debrief after every exchange and try and identify the secret clues we got that indicated the person was interested in us.
Yes.
So that's not completely crazy behavior, but it is pretty juvenile.
Yes. All right, let's talk about Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Jubes, as somebody called her. I don't even know where to fucking start with it. Like, it was such a surprising. I didn't think about Jubilee like at all because she didn't like get any screen time whatsoever in the past 2 episodes, and in this one she became like one of my favorite contestants ever in the show's history ever because she was laying out some real shit
right before the date. She's confiding in JoJo. Is that what we decided?
Yes.
And she's saying, you know, I can't fit in here. You know, all the women here are types and I just can't be that type.
And she's like 100% certain, like, I'm not going to get a solo date. And I was there in the audience like, yeah, probably not. Like, it's probably going to go to like one of the like front runner, like, because that's how it works. Like, there's maybe 6 women that like he talks to a bunch and that's who he gives it to. Jubilee, like, don't like get your hopes up. And she gets it. She has like a really wonderful reaction where she stands up and loses her mind and then apologizes to everybody in the room. And from there, like, that is when the shade begins.
She starts to panic a little bit because she knows that she can be awkward, or Ako Taco, as Jami would say.
Did Jami go home?
No. Oh, okay. No, she did. She did. You're right.
Son of a bee.
You're right, because on her exit, she says, I know not to expect anything from humans. I'm going to get a bunch of cats.
That's
now.
Right. What a cyberwoman. We have to circle back on my Dr. Love theory that he's creating contestants on this show from, I don't know, from Soylent, bubbling them
from
out of
rose petals.
Rose petals, Soylent, and wires. Throw those in a big cauldron. Jami comes out. Kaila 001 comes out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she's like having a full blown panic attack about to go on this date. Mm-hmm. She gets dressed, wearing, I think, a pretty badass look with some sweats.
Yeah.
with a drawstring.
Yeah.
Comes out and like all the women are like, "So are you excited?" And she's like, "Yeah, I guess so." She's like really nervous. She's like,
"Helicopter."
She says, "Yeah, I guess so." He is like 20 minutes late though, which is like fucking awesome. Like, yeah, I heard right? that. I was like, "Yeah, he is 20 minutes late. Probably that's fucked up, Jubilee. Good on you." And then like a helicopter, Ben shows up and is like, "So are you excited?" And she's like, no, whatever. Like joking.
Yeah. Well, no, the helicopter lands.
Yeah.
She starts to get real nervous. And she says, like, does anybody else want to go on this date?
And that fucking sets every other woman in the house on fire from inside.
It's like a Salem witch trial situation. They are all of a sudden all united in the fact that Jubilee does not appreciate
this opportunity. It's the most innocuous joke. Any sane human yeah. being would know this is joking. And I sat there thinking, like, well, all these women are just, like, looking for a gap in the armor that they can, like, exploit. Like, well, she's not here for the right reasons because of this single thing that she said once. I'm starting to wonder if it isn't, like, a Stockholm Syndrome type thing where, like, you're locked in a house for weeks at a time. You can't, like, talk to any of your loved ones or family members. You can't read the newspaper.
Yeah.
All your life is this one person. And then maybe it does get to the point very, very, very quickly where if another person isn't, like, under this same magic spell that you're under.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be just fucking crucified.
You know, it's interesting to watch the show and play it as a game of points because that is so what the women in the house are doing.
Yeah.
They're just like, I got 7 minutes with him this week. I got one kiss and one hand pat. And here Jubilee is going to get, you know, 87 minutes with him
yeah.
and maybe 17 hand pats, and she doesn't appreciate it. And
it's fucking clown shoes. And usually, like, week one that happens, maybe week two that happens.
Yeah.
At this point in the ballgame, like, usually they're over that shit.
Yeah.
But this episode was so insane because, first of all, Jubilee, like, floored me out of nowhere. I have a new front runner in Lauren B., almost our whole team went home, which sucked.
Yeah.
But also, it sort of established that nearly every woman in the house is fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. On like a really like, I don't want to sound like patronizing when I say that. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Like the stuff they were saying about Jubilee was wretched.
Well, to be fair, though, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the date. That date, they go to this mansion. They have caviar. Jubilee reveals that she prefers hot dogs.
She spits out her caviar and says, "What food do you like?" She's like, "Hot dogs." He's like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm obsessed with hot dogs." I was like, "Fuck yeah, you are. They're amazing. They're amazing. Soft bread, choose your own condiments, encased meat."
And I think what happens on that date that none of the women know about is that Jubilee reveals that she has this incredibly tragic past.
According to her whole family is dead.
Yeah, she has no, like, blood relatives that are alive.
That was like when she said my whole family died. I was like, what does that mean? And she said, I'm literally the last person in my bloodline. And it's like, fuck yeah. me.
And she's also a military veteran. I mean, the woman has maybe the most admirable story in that she is even like a functioning human being.
But divorce all that from the date and from Jubilee the person. She's the only person. I really liked Kayla 001 in the first two episodes that we watched. I really liked her solo. I was like, oh, she's so cute. Watching Jubilee like interact with Ben it reminded me like, oh, these are human ass beings.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're on TV and they're like having to perform in a certain way, but they are definitely two human ass beings. And there was very little like, it felt like there was no like coaching going on. Like she was just like letting shit fly. Like I am obsessed with hot dogs.
Yeah.
And then they were playing shuffleboard.
She thinks that she's quite the comedian. And
I think she's hysterical. She said the words, I'm obsessed with hot dogs.
She made this joke that wasn't really a joke as much as it was like, I'm going to address the fact that I am an African-American woman and that you are a white man. And so she just makes this kind of offhand comment.
She says, he's like, we're playing shuffleboard or something. And she says, I'm not playing white boy.
Yeah. And then he laughs.
He laughs and he does like a little bit uncomfortable, which is like fucking fine. Like the moment passes.
Yeah.
They're done playing shuffleboard. They're in their swimsuits inexplicably. A rare like jump cut for this show. Usually they're like, here comes bathing suits. And then she's like, I hope I didn't make you uncomfortable any earlier when I said.
Well, no, she says, that's how I knew you were cool. Like, you laughed at my joke. And I was a little nervous I was going to say something like that, but I knew that you were cool.
When I called you white boy, and he says, this is word for word, we're not changing it. I ain't that white. And she, like, good on her, because she is, this is a love competition. And if she had put the look on her face that certainly, like, spread across America like a dark shadow from, like, the spaceship in Independence Day when it goes over all the major cities, then she would have been asked to leave immediately, because it's like, well, we're done here, aren't we, because of that thing I just said.
Yeah,
because
all she would have had to do is be like, what do you mean by
what
that?
What do you mean? Hey, Ben, what the fuck are you talking about?
Because anything he said to justify that statement would have made him look like an insane person.
Or the biggest racist ever.
Yeah.
I ain't that white. What the fuck are you talking about? It's Martin Luther King Day. What the fuck is wrong with you? You can't say the words, I ain't that white, Ben. Because it's nonsense.
It was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable moment of television that Jubilee handled so gracefully.
Like the fucking Queen of England.
He gives her a rose, says that...
They had other words after that. They shared a meal! They broke bread!
I don't remember anything that happened after that. I just remember that she got a rose. He was really digging on her. He seemed a little drunk. Said that he liked that, you know, that she was more herself with him and that she was so strong. That's when she told her tragic story. And right after she finished, at least if we're to believe the editing of the show, right after she finished telling her tragic story, he gave her a rose. And that was the end of their date. And the waves of
it was
that
very,
date.
It was a nice date. And I'll say this. Ben's a tough nut. He's a hard guy to read as a viewer. From your standpoint, Chris Soule is easy to read. No, this guy's just dumb, and he likes pretty blonde women. Okay,
yeah,
that's fine. Like, I can roll with that. Like, I don't roll with that, but I know what you're doing. I know what you're saying, Ben. I can't crack that nut. But he seemed like he really enjoyed Jubilee's company. He seemed like he really enjoyed Lauren B's company.
Oh, that was the other thing. Jubilee kind of called him out a little bit. Was like, you seem real nervous all the time. Like, she's like, when you laughed at my joke, it seemed like a real sincere laugh. But a lot of times you laugh because you're supposed to laugh. And I just want you to know you should be left nervous.
Yeah, she's like, you seem really tense all the time. And it's like, well, probably he is, because he's The Bachelor, and he's on TV, and he has to, like, say a bunch of really super dumb shit.
Yeah.
Not counting, he just said the words, I ain't that white, and he knows he's basically done.
So all that to say, I think when a lot of these women that led the witch hunt against Jubilee watch this episode, they're going to realize, like, what nutcases they were. Because we got to see a real... nice picture of Jubilee that they didn't. All they saw was the woman that was stealing their point time.
Let's get to that witch hunt. Because, man, like, fuck me.
Yeah.
It got, I've watched this show a lot now. This is some of the most, it got so bad. Like, it got so bad to watch.
Yeah.
And the pinnacle of this is Ben walks in at the cocktail.
Yeah, so now all the dates are done. It's cocktail party.
Cocktail party. I don't know if we've talked about the cocktail party and it's important. It's basically a last chance workout.
Yeah.
A Biggest Loser fan. It's the immunity challenge, I guess, in Survivor terms. Or I guess that brief period after the immunity challenge where you're scrambling to secure votes.
Tribal council, maybe.
Well, tribal council would be the rose ceremony. Anyway, this is your last chance to, like, put some FaceTime in, some QT in with the Bachelor or Bachelorette. Ben walks in, and sometimes it's, like, rough because the women, like, plan their whole week around that shit. Like, I didn't get any dates, but that cocktail party, I'm going to do it. And then, like, Chris Harrison walks in, and you're like, oh, shit. And Chris Harrison's like, there's no cocktail party. He knows what's up. Sorry, Lucy. It's you. That wasn't the case this week so much. Do you want to say what happened?
Yeah. So this has been an episode full of a lot of heavy material.
I think Chris actually says when he walks into the cocktail party to summon them for the rose ceremony, he's like, wow, heavy room.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, it's been a week because Ben said, I ain't that white. We're all still sort of recovering from that, Mr. Harrison.
Ben comes in, says that he found out.
He actually doubles back. He's like, I am that white. I'm not.
Just want to put it on the table, guys.
I'm not proud to admit this, but I told a falsehood.
He reveals that some of his family friends have just suddenly tragically died, that he just found out, and now he's going to do this cocktail party, and he's a little bummed. And
that's literally all he says. He doesn't, yeah, he didn't belabor it. He was like, I just want to let you guys know if I seem a little down tonight, it's because these two friends of mine who were, he said, pillars of the community where I'm from, just suddenly died. And I literally just found out and I am feeling pretty sad about it.
Olivia and all, you know, and all the women are kind of looking at each other saying like, oh, this is terrible.
Oh, this is too bad. Galactus is like, can I steal you away?
Olivia pulls him away and I think, oh, Olivia is going to swoop in because I just thought, oh, from now on, the whole rose ceremony.
We were all shouting at the TV, like, hug him, hug him. Somebody hug him.
From now on, I thought the whole rose ceremony was going to be about all these women comforting him, you know, and doing it in their own, like, little quirky ways. Yeah. Olivia, all she can think about is the toes and the comment earlier from the women about her toes. And she pulls him aside and she says, it's really hard for me. I have a lot of insecurities. I hate my ankles and it's a little embarrassing, but I can't get past it. And Ben is looking at her and it is the biggest missed opportunity I've ever seen.
Not just missed. You said the words missed opportunity in reference to what she did. Well, it is a fucking crime against. Yeah.
It was despicable. But. I can't figure out how she's so tone deaf. It was incredible.
I'm telling you what happened is those women said mean things about her toes during the group date. And then the group date ended and he said, well, night, night, and did his special leg touch with her. And then after he left, she was like, oh shit, I meant to tattle and get some points on the fact that the other women said mean things about me. And then I can get like, you know, I'm being accosted points in Ben's head. And then like, maybe he'll spend more time with me. Oh shit. Well, next time I see him, I'll make sure to play that card. And then he walked into the room and it was basically fucking Peanuts teacher trumpet, like wah, 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 plane crash. And she was like, oh, I missed it. What did he say? Anyway, can I steal you away? My toes.
Yeah. So Olivia is not seeming like as much the front runner. I mean, they kind of showed a little bit of that last week. But then this week, it just seemed like she doesn't know how to connect with human beings on a real level.
No, she's a sociopath.
Yeah.
We saw Anomalisa earlier today, and I'm just saying there's a lot of connection between Anomalisa, the sociopath puppet movie, and Olivia with that gigantic mouth. It could be the work of puppetry.
Wait, are you saying Olivia...
is a stop-motion puppet.
Okay.
Because that mouth... is clearly like, it's cartoonish in nature, and it moves much like a stop puppet mouth.
And she doesn't see the individuality of other people?
Yes.
Okay.
But mostly just the mouth puppet thing. Okay. I haven't really workshopped it, like my Dr. Love robot ideas. What happens to our girl Jubilee, though?
So this is when Jubilee...
Jubes,
which is not anything we would call her. This is a name chosen by the
other
women.
I'm exclusively calling her that.
She is thinking, how can I make sure that Ben feels okay? Because she is somebody that is intimately familiar with tragedy. And so she pulls him aside and gives him a little massage. And the women see this. They know she has a rose and that she's, quote, safe for the night. And they just start, man, they are lighting torches.
I don't want to like, I want to be really careful in this podcast. I love this show. I genuinely do. Mm-hmm. I also think this show gets very, very gross at times. And I don't want to be complicit in that. So I don't want to like use language that's like demeans the women that are on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that you or anybody listening to the show will stop me if I start to do that.
Yeah.
But the only way that I can describe the behavior of these, of the women, and it wasn't all of them, it was like six or seven of them, as they saw Jubilee giving Ben a massage is vulture-like. Yeah. Because like one of them saw through the bushes Jubilee giving Ben a massage and was like, you gotta come over here, look what he's doing. And then the group kept growing like that, like, hey, you gotta get over here and see what he's doing. It's Johnny, get over here, check this out. Amber, get over here, you gotta see what he's like.
Yeah.
Everybody. And then all of a sudden it was literally a small crowd of people watching what would otherwise be a fairly intimate moment. Yeah. And then one of them actually, I was joking during the massage, like, this would be a funny thing if like somebody walked up and was like, hey, can I steal him away from this massage you're giving him because his friends just died? And then somebody literally actually does it. And then from that moment on, Jubilee is persona non grata.
Yeah. And because
They do it in the grossest way, too.
And they are so righteous in their condemnation of her that they want to force a confrontation. So Jubilee gets pulled away. She's sitting off by herself. Yeah. She's sitting off by herself, kind of wrapped in a shawl. And Amber's like, come on, come talk to us. And she's like, I'm not going to do the girl talk. And Amber's like, no, we need to talk to you. And
she's like, no, I'm not going to get involved
Jubilee
in this.
Immediately knows what's up and knows that she doesn't have to do anything, which is rare on this show. I feel like a lot of times people get bullied into these big confrontations.
They still try to because Amber's like, all right, well, I guess we're going to come to her. And then she went back to the group. She's like, she's making us come to her. And all the women are like, ugh, she's not making you do fucking anything, you fucking horrible, horrible people.
I don't even know how that conversation would have gone. What would they have done? What would they have
You shouldn't massage a man who just found out his friends died if you already have a rose. That's literally all they have to go on. It's fucking horse apples, garbage, bullshit, child town.
Yeah.
It's kindergarten, fucking garbage, dumpster shit.
Yeah.
It's sewer kindergarten. It's a preschool baby diapers.
It's the opposite of Super Water Zero.
It's the opposite of our sponsor, Super Water Zero. It's fucking ridiculous. So Jubilee, like, just, like, dips.
Goes does up, the great shawl toss.
Does the great shawl. Oh, amazing, evasive maneuver.
Amber tries grab her shoulder, and she just lets that shawl drop and just walks away and is like, nope.
It's like in Home Alone when the wet bandits, like, grab Kevin McAllister's jacket, and he just, like, pulls out of the jacket and runs off. It was some dope shit. That was a professional. I'm gonna say it. That was probably like dope ass military maneuver.
So she,
if ISIS grabs your shawl, just like leave the shawl and dip. Get out of there. Distraction tactic.
So Jubilee like goes upstairs, like sequesters herself. It's like, I'm not doing this. And Ben sees the hubbub and says to the camera, "I'm responsible for the feelings in this house.
The feelings and emotions in this house."
It's the most like paternalistic thing I have ever seen.
This season on The Stepdad.
It was like a real Seventh Heaven moment where it was just like, these women are upset. I'm going to figure out what, you know, how I can fix everything. So goes up to talk to Jubilee. Jubilee is not really throwing anybody under the bus. She's just kind of like, hey, something's happening.
There's like some drama and they're like trying to pull me into it because like I already have a rose and I rubbed you.
Amber.
And fucking
bursts
Amber.
Into the bathroom and feels like now is the time to call Jubilee out in front of Ben.
And it's like, we just wanted to have a conversation with you. And she's like, I don't want to have a fucking conversation with you. And she's like, we just wanted to tell you when you got on the date in the helicopter and you said, did anybody else want to go on the date? That like offended us. And Ben is like, hey, Amber, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. She was clearly joking, you lunatic, and I like that shit. And Amber's like, oh, boy, I sure am glad I already have a rose this week, or else I would be gonskies.
Yeah. I forgot that she's gonskies had the next rose. Week. Yeah, because I was like, there's no way she's
it was fucking, night. it was ridiculous. And somebody made the point, I forget who said it, that of our posse that watches the show, that Amber was behaving more like a producer of the show because it's her second go around. She like knows how things work, and so she was like talking to another contestant more like a producer. But you're not. You've got a rose, but that doesn't mean that like you get to drop this behind the scenes knowledge on people. And Ben shut her down and stood by Jubilee. It was a man.
It's interesting. And when we were watching, Griffin's like, the whole show has changed now because the show is about gameplay and it's about getting time and it's about stealing him away. That's why we have all the rules that we do. But it really became clear, like, they have totally forgotten that they're just trying to get to know this guy better. And they are now obsessed with fairness and what is and isn't correct.
When I said all the women in the house are terrible earlier, I want to amend that statement. Because first of all, it was hateful. It came from a place of hate. It is literally just because I mentioned Lauren B. and Jubilee, like, oh, they had some nice moments with Ben. As of this moment, that's it. Those are the only two people who have even tried to get to know him,
remember,
or vice versa.
There was a group on the couch that saw Jubilee and said, you know, it seems like they're trying to gang up on
her. And then everybody on that couch was really great about going up to Jubilee and supporting her, except they didn't. They didn't do fucking anything. Watching the show, you have to suspend some disbelief and you have to think, like, at the very least, this television show that we're all shooting together is gonna be a whole lot more comfortable if we fucking get to know each other a little bit. Like, forget
to make friends, Griffin.
No. I'm not even talking about the different contestants with each other. Although that has to happen because it's like prison.
Yeah.
You're locked in with them for 8 weeks. You got to talk about something.
Yeah.
Some friendships blossom from that, and that's beautiful and perfect. Like Carly and Jade from Bachelor in Paradise, the best friendship maybe of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to happen. I'm talking about, like, Ben and the contestants. But that's, like, not what it is at all. I'm not even talking about idealistic, like, they got to get to know each other so they can fall in love and get married. I'm talking about from a television production, backstage, behind-the-scenes standpoint, you're going to talk to this person a bunch on this television show you're all collaborating on. You should at least ask him, like, where his fucking family is from.
Yeah.
But it's not that. It's just time and points and scores and touchdowns, which maybe that's their angle. Like, they're trying to make it something that Ben can understand, which is sports measurement. But it's still like, man, it was an eye-opening episode.
Well, and it's week three, third right?
Third week, yeah.
Yeah, and there just seems to be this desperation already, just like, I know who he is and what he likes, and it's not me, and it's her, and I don't know why it's her, and it's 3 weeks. Some of them have not even spent any alone time with him yet.
Which is crazy, because he's trimmed a lot of, I almost said fat, but that's bad. He's trimmed a lot of grass. He's cut a lot of, he's yanked out a lot of weeds that were doing nothing for the soil. And there's still a lot of weeds. It's not a good season. It is not a good crop, to continue the arboreal metaphors.
Yeah.
It's so, not.
So,
it's Lace, entertaining. It's an entertaining crop.
Let's talk about Lace.
What's Tuff say? She broke my heart.
She kind of ties a nice bow around the evening because all of this stuff is going on. Ben has just finished comforting Jubilee. He comes downstairs. Everybody's exhausted. You can tell they're just ready for the night to be done. Lace comes in from, what is it, stage left? Stage right? I don't know. She swoops in like a fighter pilot.
There's one of those ejector seat pits in the floor that she like pops up out of.
She like zeroes in on him, says, can I talk to you for a second?
All the women had sat down like waiting for him to like deliver his farewell address.
Yeah. It's like, oh, great. Lace is going to do another one of her like, I don't know who I am speeches. And she starts to give that speech. She starts to say, hey, you know, I'm having a hard time. I don't like the way that I've been. And she's like, I really feel like, you know, I just need to, you know, I need to learn to like myself. It's like my tattoo says.
Which is the best. It's just the best. It's like my tattoos. It's like that ink on my body forever says.
And her tattoo basically says, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love
it? Well, you added the hell because we're watching a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race, like a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race.
But basically she has a quote from RuPaul tattooed on her body.
If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else? Can I get an amen? It's time to lip sync for your life. Bring back my girls.
I would love.
Come on, girl.
What if the women
put
that were
some bass in your walk, head to toe, let your whole body talk. And work.
What if, that was great, by the way.
Thank you.
What if the women that were about to get eliminated got to lip sync for their life? And then they would get a
rose. We've talked about this, watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
Which is now the second time we've talked about this in two consecutive episodes.
We think all reality shows should end with a lip sync for your life, in which people that are about to go home have a last chance to compete. And give the best performance they've ever given.
Specifically lip syncing to like amazing like Donna Summer's like fucking killer tracks.
But anyway, Lace says, you know, I think I need to learn to love myself. I think it'd be easier for me to go home, which I thought was a big manipulation, was a big beg me to stay, Ben.
No, but she then seemed completely defeated.
But then she's like, so I'm just going to go. And she walks
she
out.
She leaves, which
she's
is
done.
A big minus 20 points for Griffin and Rachel.
If a contestant chooses to leave, that's like
it's the worst thing. It's the worst possible thing that can happen in our league. And that happened to us.
Yeah.
Hence our 3 points this season. This episode. Anything else happened? We lost Jami.
Well, we didn't talk about Lauren H.'s awful comment about the soccer moms.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do it or not.
I don't want to dig into it, but Lauren H. was also on our team, but we dropped, like, as soon as she said this about Jubilee. And it was one of the worst, like, there was some shady shit said about Jubilee for her, like, innocuous jokes that, again, we have outlined literally all of them on this podcast. Her saying, like, does anybody else want to go on this date? Because she's scared of helicopters.
And they're not even jokes. They're just kind of like comments to try and lighten the things.
Yeah. She said, like, Jubilee just seems so full of herself, and I just don't think a person like that is in it for the long haul, and I don't see how the other soccer moms are going to get along with somebody like Jubilee. I was like, that's really, really fucked up, Lauren H. You can't just say shit like that, Lauren H.
It's like this insider talk, you know, of like a, like me and the women, we know how it works, but Jubilee, she doesn't understand. And like, she won't be able to fit in with Ben's world. It just sounded racist.
It's coded like bullshit. Yeah. It fucking sucks. I mean, they didn't say I'm not that white, which is undecoded.
ain't that white, which is so much worse than I'm not that white.
Fucking bad. Oh my God, Ben.
Ako taco.
Akko Taco Benjamin. You've slain
the only other thing I have written down is that at the end of the rose ceremony, Olivia is one of the last people to get a rose, but she feels like it's okay because
it's another secret love code.
Because Ben gives her like a little waist squeeze at the end of the rose ceremony, and she thinks, well, he can't give me everything all the time. And that was just his little symbol saying, hey, I see you. And she is working hard to keep her fantasy going.
She's keeping our fantasy going now because she's on our team.
Yeah,
we reached our redraft period, where once there are not enough women for people to draft after a rose ceremony where everybody loses somebody, we all cut down our teams to two people. So now we got Lauren B., the flight attendant, my fave. Mm-hmm. Not my fave, but my current, like, expected winner. And Olivia, who's going to get us, like, so many bad girl points and is going to be in every moment of every date she's on. Rachel didn't like the... You wanted to stay with Lauren H.
No, I didn't want to stay with Lauren H. I didn't want to give up when you get one switch.
You get one switch where you can drop one player and pick up another one.
I didn't want to give that up now. I feel like there's still some women we don't know anything about.
No, you get like 9 weeks of this show.
By giving up our one switch and taking Olivia, who we know isn't going to go all the way, I just feel like that's a gamble.
I think she's going to go fucking far. I think she's going to make it to Final Four.
Really?
I'll put a bet right now on the podcast.
After she talked about her cankles?
Yeah. Because Ben noticed and he wanted to say something about it, but then she put the tiger on the table and yelled at it.
Oh, man. Maybe he's got a thing for big mouths.
And huge, weird cankles and crazy toes.
I don't think we even saw her toes.
Or her cankles. No, I'm just saying.
I would like to know what that's about. Show me those toes, Bachelor.
Show me those toes. Show me those, Bachelor. Bachelor, show me those toes. Bachelor, plebes. Plebes, Bachelor, show me them toes.
Are you gonna keep doing this until I
Bachelor,
laugh?
Bachelor, plebes, I need to see those cozies.
Shosh goes home tonight.
Shoshana, whatever.
Jami goes home.
Jami went home, and of course we lost Lace.
And Lace.
That's Jami, it. I like. Jami was laying down some realness also that I enjoyed. And she was wearing Shoshana was wearing that romper. You know, I like a good romper.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was a lot to take in 1 week.
I really promise we're going to do a 30-minute episode someday. But these episodes,
I don't know how.
These episodes have been fucking.
In case there's still somebody listening to our show that doesn't watch The Bachelor, it is a 2-hour event.
It's a 2-hour event, but usually it's like formulaic to a fault, which is a person goes on a date. The rest of the women talk shit about the woman that's on the date. The woman comes back, talks about her date, go on a group date.
Yeah.
Some dumb shit happens in the group date.
Yeah.
They all get together after the group date. If someone gets a rose to that one, there's another solo date. It's also very boring.
Yeah.
And by the end of those three dates, you get an idea of who the front runners are. And then there's a cocktail party, and then there's a rose ceremony. And then everybody, you know, whoever hasn't made the most progress at the front. It's very much like a race, right? Like, these people are getting the most screen time. They have the most connections. They're the furthest in the race. They're going to get the roses. And it continues that way to the end. And sometimes you get an interesting character. This season has just been like completely devoid of any like connection, but also like everybody's more obsessed with the game of The Bachelor than I've ever seen.
That's definitely true.
And it's made it like a weird thing to watch.
Yeah.
And it's made me feel kind of gross about definitely gamifying it.
No, I know.
Thing that we do. And I maybe only feel gross because
they're playing the game harder than we are. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Well, we have no agency in the game, aside from the draft. But we are in fifth of five place. right now with our team.
Yeah.
Fourth place has, I think, 77 points. We are sitting at 30.
30 points.
It is very, very bad. So maybe that's why I feel bad about the game. I don't feel better. I think we got a winning team now, but it's a weird season, man. It's a weird season. It's a weird season considering that I think Ben is very boring, aside from, like, the race. Like,
you know, I actually feel like I was real hard on him after episode one.
Yeah.
Episode three, I feel like he became more of a human.
He also got drunk.
Being.
We didn't talk about
that. Yeah, he seemed pretty drunk. And he seemed like somebody who was really just trying to have a good time and get to know people. And he seemed to have interests and opinions.
And how not white he is. That I can't. I'm with you. He said some stuff that made him seem vaguely human-like with, like, some level of nuance. He literally said, I ain't that white. I ain't that white. I ain't. Me? What, me white? Oh, ain't that much of it. The whiteness, I mean, in me, Ben.
This is actually also the first season where it seems like women of color might actually make it past episode four.
Or people of color. And The Bachelorette, like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. Yeah, and that's not saying anything about the people that are Bachelor or Bachelorette.
I'll say it about the people who are Bachelor or Bachelorette.
That's more saying things about the producers, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely the casting, like...
Yeah.
Just in terms of, like, numbers... Like, Caitlyn's season, I think there were only two or three people of color in the contestants, and it was, compared to the ocean of whiteness that those three ships were sailing on, like, it's kind of hard to rise above.
Where literally this season two women are twins, and I keep forgetting which one they are because all the women look so similar.
You can't even tell who the twins are inside of the larger pool of non-twins.
I can't.
What's up with these 16 twins?
I know. It's the biggest group of twins I've ever seen.
They should have a word for when there's more than two of them. This is insane.
I think that's our show.
I think that's our show. It really was like, it's some gross shit happened. And I want to really hammer that home. Some genuinely upsetting television happened. But I'm so like, the whole work is so fascinating. It was a fascinating episode.
It really
was. As a fan of the game not the game, as a fan of the show, Bachelor, Bachelorette, the way that these, it's like this season of Survivor we just watched that was Second Chance.
Yeah.
And it was like returning players of the Survivor that came back and all of them had played the game. It's maybe the best season of Survivor that has ever been. And if you watch Survivor and like fell off, get back on for this season. If you've never watched it, watch
it's
it.
Incredible.
It's fucking the best ever. It kind of feels like that a little bit, and that all of these women are like playing the game of Bachelor so hard.
But I mean, that happens every season. Like, that's the thing. Nothing necessarily that happened tonight has not ever, it's not unprecedented.
I disagree in the sense that, yes, in past seasons, there are those women who are like, I'm not getting enough FaceTime, and it's all about that FaceTime, so I'm going to go talk to them.
Yeah.
Now it is like, if one woman goes and gets FaceTime, every other woman in the house comes together as if they are at like an officiating panel.
Yeah.
In addition to the contestants, they are also self-judging the rules that they have made up in their minds for how The Bachelor is supposed to be quote unquote played. And if there's a single infraction on those rules, like Jubilee had by massaging him after finding out that his friends died, then you have broken the rules and you deserve to be disqualified. You shouldn't be here. You'll never get along with the soccer moms.
Well, yeah, no, that's true.
There's a pack mentality that's like never existed before.
Think about like Courtney or Kelsey or these women that were not well liked by the other women on the show.
But they were heels. They were like, to use a wrestling term, they were like absolutely heels, like absolutely engineered.
Because Jubilee's decent, it's different.
It's not just Jubilee being decent. It's happened a couple times in this season already, and we're on episode three.
Yeah.
Where if you play outside of, I don't know what the rule, I want to watch the behind the scenes where the council of elders gets together and decides like, we get 5 minutes, no touching, no kissing. Like, I want to know what the rules are that people keep stepping on.
One thing I want to be, like, conscious of is it is possible that there was a producer that pulled Amber aside and says, Amber, why don't you go?
I mean, that's the factor that we could say that about literally anything we talk.
I know,
it's worth mentioning. A producer walked up to Ben in the hot tub and was like, hey, I have a really dope thing that I want you to say. I really want you to say, I ain't that white. Those words exactly don't fucking change it at all. You gotta say that. You gotta Benji. I'm gonna make you a star.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning every once in a while, because you can kind of get caught up in the conspiracy of the show. And I just think it's worth saying, hey, there's a lot of people pulling strings.
I believe that. I also believe that I am a good enough judge of like character and also of this show at this point. When a person is like being a real ass person, which is so rare.
Yeah.
So very, very, very rare. Like, I feel like I can tell that too. And I guess it makes it all the worse when it's like this person's just like trying to have a real conversation with this person. Mm-hmm. Take away the construct of the show that this person that they are like having a polite human interaction with. Mm-hmm. And then like 16 other people are just like trying to fucking dunk on them.
Yeah.
It's really weird, and it makes it hard to like root for literally any of the dunkies. A lot of dunkies.
I think this episode was particularly bad. I don't think it'll continue.
When is that 2-on-1 twin date going to happen, though?
Yeah, we got rid of our twin on our fantasy team.
Yeah, we did.
It didn't seem like a winning proposition for us.
Because that's going to be the 2-on-1. How is that not going to be the 2-on-1?
Yeah.
That's going to be the 2-on-1.
And they teased something as much for the next episode. It was one of the twins. I'm assuming it was one of the twins. Talking to the camera saying, like, I knew this was going to happen, but this is so much worse. And I'm assuming that's her referencing, hey, he's going to pick one of us.
Do you think they could do that? And then, obviously, that is why they cast these twins. Obviously, it's why those twins are still around. Obviously, there's going to be a 2-on-1. Obviously, that's going to be, like, one of the bullet points for this season when the season's over. Like, oh, fuck. Do you remember the 2-on-1 with the twins? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, they are trying to engineer that moment. Do you think there's any way that they can handle that tastefully? Is there any way that they can be like, Ben like rolls up and is like, listen, you're sisters. Obviously, I can't date both of you at once. That's insanity. So let's just like have a good time. And at the end of it, I'll figure out who I like more and we'll
they
just like roll with it.
Separate themselves. I think there's a way to do it and that they are two people.
I don't
and
know,
have different interests.
I don't know anything about both of them.
Yeah.
Except
I know.
That they're related and they wouldn't
every
look
week.
The same.
So I've been saying every week, why don't they try and differentiate
but
themselves?
In that sense, and to build on your everyone's a twin theory, I don't know anything about anybody here except for the women who have solo dates. And even then, like, I still don't know that much. Kyla 001, all I know about her is she's some sort of bioorganism.
Software.
She sells software. That's fucking nothing.
Have we talked about the fact that if she's a robot and sells software?
She's self-propagating and she has to be fucking stopped. Yeah. Dr. Love, flip the kill switch. It's the ethical thing to do. Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. You've gone too far. You must be stopped. Third law of robotics, shut her down.
Shut her down. The third
shut her
law.
Down. Name something. Name things you know. Name bachelorettes or bachelor contestants that you know shit about right now. Jubilee, last iron bloodline, military veteran, funny, charming, great. Lauren B., cute as a button.
Flight attendant.
She wants to meet her Ben's. That's all I need to know is that you actually like that person. I will substitute that fact for any facts about yourself.
Olivia has cankles.
Well, no. I think Olivia said there were blog posts when she was like anchoring about her cankles.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that she was an anchor. That's why. Yeah, because she was saying people on the internet have said this. And I was like, how did that happen?
I don't doubt it. And like, that sucks. And I get it. But like, you're on The Bachelor now. This is big leagues. Literally, that's all I can think of. Like, Shoshana went home, and I was bummed. I was like, oh, not Shoshana. And I was like, wait, what the fuck do I care? I don't know anything about Shoshana. Yeah. She's got a cool name. That's it.
She spoke a lot of Russian.
She wore a romper.
She spoke Russian.
Cool. That's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's just nothing. It's just nothing. I knew more about Lace, and she's gone now.
Yeah.
I want to make a connection. Maybe I'm just frustrated. I know they get to this shit eventually, but like, damn.
I know. We may be putting a lot of pressure on the first 3 weeks. Maybe we're misremembering how quickly you get to this stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. Just damn.
I know.
Let's wrap it up.
Next week will be better.
Next week will be better. God, 55 minutes again. I can't believe it. thanks for listening. I think we're going to get this on a podcast feed. This will probably be the first episode up on a podcast feed. I'll probably put this one up on SoundCloud tomorrow on Tuesday just so we can get it up quickly. But then I'll convert all this to a podcast feed, and we'll have a podcast feed, and we'll make sure to let you guys know where that lives. So you can subscribe to it in your podcatcher. What are we going to do when Bachelor is over? Bip.
I mean, we'll just be two married people that live together and are in love.
That's a shitty podcast.
Well, we don't have to record it. I know this is unfamiliar to the McElroys, but you don't have to record every reaction you have to everything.
I crushed this Vitamin Water Zero. Did you see that? How much did I drink? There's 2.5 servings per container. Can we talk about this? What's the deal with, like, if I buy a bottle of Super Water Zero, there can't be 2.5 servings. Oh, Rachel's leaving. Thanks for listening to Rosebuddies, everybody. Now back to my diatribe. There can't be 2.5 servings of a container inside of a single bottle, of Super Water Zero. Bye, everybody. There can't be. It's one serving. It's a single bottle. It's contained. It comes in a six pack. They don't call it a, what, a 15 pack? Is that what it would be? It's people, get real. The signs are out there. Pay attention. They're killing us with all the sugar and the fat in our food. Don't even start me about GMOs.
Stay with us on this journey of joy.
Spoiler alert.
She ends up with Soulja Boy.
Right Reese's, can't you go on?